What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Oregon Basketball Coaches Association podcast, a product of the Oregon Basketball Coaches Association. To get the most up-to-date info, visit our website at or.nhsbca.org. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the, and I'm joined with the head girls basketball coach for the Bannon Tigers, Jordan Sammons. Coach, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Oh, I just said, yeah, for sure. Us too. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So coach, you know, you've been the head coach at Bannon now for how long?
Just finished up my fifth season.
Nice. And so, for those that don't know you, and that maybe they don't know the history of where you come from and how you came to Bannon, why don't you catch us up and just tell us your story?
Yeah, I grew up in Kansas, and you know, played football and basketball and ran track in high school. But I actually rodeoed, so my passion was riding bulls, and went to Fort Hays State University in Kansas for a couple of years, and then my parents moved down to Texas, so I transferred down to McNeese State University in Louisiana and college rodeoed for them. And then once I graduated college, I started kind of rodeoing professionally and started my teaching career. So I was teaching down there, and I student taught at a middle school, and then went to a high school for a little bit, and a job opened back up at the middle school that I student taught at. So I went there for two more years, and then, you know, life kind of brought me to Oregon. Started teaching and coaching at Bannon, and I enjoyed it, and I've been here 5 years now. So, you know, kind of a crazy story to go all the way from Kansas to Louisiana to Oregon, but, you know, I just feel like that's where God called me to be, and it's been working out well so far.
That's awesome. So you show up in Bannon year one, and they hand you the keys to the girls program. Is that right? Or what's the timing on that?
Yeah. Came and visited the school and met with Mr. Standridge, Brandon Standridge, who's the athletic director at Crestwell now. And he was the athletic director here. And, you know, I planned to come up here and help out with some football and coach some middle school sports and teach. And it was just a one-year teaching gig because the guy went to the military active duty. So it was just perfect. I was like, well, shoot, I'll be up here for a year and kind of see how it goes. And left Bannon, and I was out rodeoing, and I didn't have service for a couple of days. We were traveling, and you know, enough to really settle in. You know, it was over the 4th of July and we were going, and I finally checked my email maybe about a week after I left, and Brandon had sent me an email and just said, hey, you know, I know you've been a boys assistant before, and our girls basketball coach just resigned, and you know, I think it would be great if you were interested in doing it kind of on a one-year basis. We don't have any other teaching jobs open, and I'm not sure the interest will get in the position. So it'd be awesome if you would, you know, didn't mind doing it for this first year, and then we can kind of go from there. And so, you know, I told him, I was like, got a hold of him, and I said, yeah, you know, I don't have any aspirations to be a head coach, especially for basketball and especially for girls basketball. I've never really coached girls basketball, but, you know, if you need me to do it and you can't find anybody, yeah, I'll do it if you need me to. And, you know, come October, they didn't have anybody to do it. So he asked me to take it over for the year. And then at the end of the season, the gentleman who was in the position before me contacted the school and said he was going to stay in the military full time. So a full time teaching position opened. And here we are 5 years later. Yes, sir. 2017, 2018 was my first year.
So that first year, I mean, you go 4-19. It's a tough year. What are some things that you learned through that first season and really, you know, your first year going to, as a head coach, right?
Yeah, that I really didn't know anything, you know. You know, I kind of, I'd been a boys assistant and coached under a good coach in Louisiana for a year, and the middle school I was at had some really good coaches. They're all head coaches now at the high school level and have won a couple state championships in Louisiana. And so I had some really good guys down there. And when I got up here and, you know, we took it over, our the program was just in a spot where it hadn't been successful or very successful the few years before. And that first year was a little rough, but I just went out and got a bunch of, not a bunch, but went out and got a couple mentors that I trusted, and I knew the game, and just asked a lot of questions and studied as much as I could, and you know, really tried to start building a culture. And I knew we were in an all right spot. We were practicing in the morning, and you know, we just lost our last game to Gold Beach on our last game of the year, and you know, they went to the state tournament that year, and we lost by 30 or whatever it was. And as we're leaving, you know, our post game talk, one of my sophomores, Ashley Strange, she came up and said, "Hey coach, what time in the morning tomorrow?" And I was like, "Well, Ashley, you know, our season's over. We don't have morning practice in the morning." And she's like, "No, I know, but what time can I come in to start working towards next year?" And, you know, I just kind of laughed, and it was like a Thursday night or something. And I said, "Well, if you still feel that way on Monday, let me know." And, Monday she did. And so, you know, shortly after, we, started getting back in the gym, and so I knew we were going to be all right there, and things just kind of took off from that. You know, maybe not in a ton of success the next year, but, just that culture and that drive for our program to take it to the next step. I remember that was a big turning point that night.
So it's a really great story. I mean, you start, you only won 4 games your first year, 6 games your second year, and then that group and that culture that you're talking about that you've been building, and I think, I mean, anybody that's been paying attention now knows that you've pretty much established that third year. You go 27-2, you make it to the semifinals, you end up taking third in the state. And that's, I mean, to go 4 wins and then to go 6 wins and then all of a sudden you're in the state semifinals. I mean, take me through your thought process as you're going through that season. I know that, you know, you had some great players. I mean, I know the one thing if I was going to say one thing about you and your program, it's player development. I mean, and you're very teachable and you're humble. You know, those things. But I mean, for you, as you're going through that season, take us through, you know, before the season, where you're going into your third season, you're not sure how it's going to go, but you're probably pretty hopeful, you know, and you're confident. But just walk us through, you know, before you get into that season, your third season there at Bandon.
Yeah. You know, I after our first year, like I said, we started 10,000 Shot Club, and, you know, so people are like, "Well, why aren't you doing a 10,000 Make Club?" And I'm like, "Because we'll have nobody in it." You know, and that's just the truth. We could have shot every day of the entire off season, and I don't know if we would have had anybody get 10,000 makes by the next season. And, the goal was just to develop. You know, I wanted them to work on becoming, better basketball players and not so focused on the result, but just focused on the process. And so, you know, we did that summer. And then, like you said, the second year we won 6 games, but we were in a bunch, and, it felt like we were close. We were competing. We just didn't really know how to win, you know? And, we had a girl, Traylon Arana. She came to Bandon before her, junior year that summer, and she played summer ball with us, and we worked hard, which would have been before my second year. And, she just really, really bought into our culture, and due to some family things, she ended up not being able to stay in Bandon. There was just some stuff kind of going on, and she had to go back to Glendale and play on the boys team her junior year. And I pretty much, as soon as season was over, she kind of had her situation kind of figured out and came back to Bandon. And so, you know, going into my third year, she moved back in about March, and she hadn't got a, she played in the summer with us the summer before, but she never got to play a real season with us. And, so we were just excited going to that summer. I mean, we had 9 girls that year go to a PGC camp, a point guard college. We had 9 girls that just bought in and wanted to just better themselves as leaders and as players. And, you know, that summer before my third year, we just hit it hard. And, we tried to play some games in the summer that we knew we could compete in, because like I said, the year before we had a better year, but we only won 6 games. We're still kind of figuring out how to win. And, but going into that third year, that summer before, we played quite a bit, and it kind of just propelled us into the off season, where they were they saw the results start to pay off a little bit on the floor. And it really just motivated them to keep working hard. And we just spent a ton of time in the gym, you know. You know, you're a great coach, and I know that you develop a ton of shooters. And, you know, like anybody, I mean, to be a good shooter, you got to put the work in and you got to get the reps in. And they really did that. So we did have high hopes going into our third year as being able to compete. Maybe not so much being able to win, but we knew we were going to had the pieces to have a good year. We just kind of went into it with the expectation that we were going to go compete and we were going to work hard and we were just going to take it game by game. And we started off and won, I think, our first two or three games, and then Brookings came to us. And the year before, they beat us 82-28. And it's nothing that they did on Sportsman. Like, we just couldn't stop anybody still, and we couldn't score. And so, you know, they came to us that third year, and we're playing in the game, and you know, I think we're down like eight or nine with maybe like 4 minutes left, and Trey Lynn fouled out. And so, you know, we just have the band and girls on the floor that have been there for the past 2 years. You know, Trey Lynn had fouled out, and we got it all the way back. It took a shot at the buzzer to tie it and didn't miss it, and we lost by three. And I think that just kind of solidified to those girls that, like, you know, man, the work we've put in really has paid off. And that gave them the confidence that, you know, obviously with Trey Lynn on the floor, she had played a couple summers with us now. I mean, she was a great player, but it kind of gave them the confidence that, you know, wow, like, we have really improved from even where we were last year. And I think we won our next 23 games straight or something like that. You know, it's just that I just remember that loss was a turning switch. And the next time we lost was to Kennedy in the semis. And, man, we had some battles. We had – they haven't beat Coquille in forever, and we beat them at their place. You know, they had Morgan Baird that year. It was our senior year that she went on to play at Portland State. And we beat them that year at Coquille. And it was just – I mean, I'll never forget that game. And then it turns around to them come to our place on senior night, the last game of the year for the league title. And I mean, just the gym was packed and it came all down to the wire, and we ended up winning that game. And that just propelled us into the postseason. But just, man, you know, it was just so fun because every day our goal was just to get better. And it was a bunch of girls that just honestly knew they weren't great basketball players as sophomores, and they just put the work in and worked their tail off. And, to have that be the group that kind of goes out there and kind of really solidifies where we thought we could be as a program. And, like you said, make it to the semis and end up third was just a memorable experience that I'll never forget.
And so then after you do that, I mean, since then, so you go 4 wins, you go 6 wins, and then since then you've lost 8 games in 3 seasons.
Yes,
I mean, that's – To go 27-2, 16-1 in the COVID season, and then this year you went 24-5. I mean, basically you brought home 3 trophies, right? I don't know how it went last year when you get, like, you won, like, the consolation or something. Is that kind of how it worked out? So you got four. So you've gotten a third, a fourth, and a fifth in the last 3 years. And so, you kind of have a blueprint of, I mean, sounds like you guys got pretty good athletes if you're doing that. You've got the athlete part, you've got the dedication part, you've got the system part. And so really, I mean, take us through, you know, for you, like, what are the pillars of your program? Like, what are the top, you know, if you're talking to somebody that maybe you're mentoring, what are some things, like, top 3 things, these are the must-dos as a coach because this is a perfect demonstration of you started from the bottom, now you're here. You know, I mean, and from what it looks like, you might be one of the favorites to win a state title or two coming up.
Yeah, no. You know, the first thing, I'm a big culture guy, and I really believe it starts with the relationships our team has. You know, we do a lot of leadership training. We do a lot of team building. You know, and not just during season, you know, during summer ball, year round. I mean, you know, we really try to promote the family atmosphere and that culture. You know, and that's the first thing that's most important to us is we really feel like if we pour into the relationships that we have with each other and our teammates, then the success on the floor will be a byproduct of that. You know, that year we won third, that group of seniors, they put four words together that was the key or was the four cornerstone of our program, if you want to say it. One thing we do is once a month in the 3 months leading up to season, so August, September, October, and November, the coaching staff and all the seniors get together for a breakfast or a lunch, and we talk about leadership and talk about, you know, what we want this next year to be and how we're going to do it and how we're going to kind of come together and make this group mesh. And we've been doing that since my first year. And, you know, so we've done that now. And that group of seniors, they picked grateful, relentless, accountable, grateful, and hype as the four words. And those kind of became the four cornerstones of our program, you know. And that's something that our team takes a lot of pride in. You know, we don't have a whole lot of rules, but, you know, if you're being disrespectful, then you're not being grateful for the opportunity to be a part of our team. You know, if you're having a bad attitude on the bench, you're not being hype. If you're not taking care of business in the classroom, you're not being accountable. And if you're not playing hard or you're not practicing hard, you're not being relentless in your pursuit to get better. And so everything we try to do, we try to mimic all behaviors on and off the court to those four key words that we want to be. And that all goes kind of back into our culture. So that's the first thing. The biggest thing for us is the culture of our program. Second, I would say one thing that we do is we put a lot of work in. You know, I think true confidence comes from being able to step on the floor and look at the people you're playing and honestly look at your opponent and just believe in your heart that you're going to be successful because you've put in more work than them. And not in a prideful way or a cocky way, but, you know, sometimes the false confidence is like, yeah, we got this, like we're going to win, we're better, blah, 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 like, you know, that people want to think. But true confidence comes from knowing that you've put the work in to be successful. And whether that pays off at the end of the game on the scoreboard or not, you know, we can't always control that, but we can be successful in getting better and how we play the game because we know we've worked at it. And I think that brings a sense of confidence. And, you know, one of the third and final thing that I would say is just get some good mentors, you know. I feel like I can learn from anybody. I try to go and watch as many different practices as I can. You know, I've been in Kansas back home and went and watched a practice at Derby High School. I've been to, you know, before Marty Stallard came into his league, I've been to Marty Stallard, Ben Stallard and Brandon Sandridge helped me a lot. You know, I know I've picked your brain. You know, I just feel like I can, you know, as a coach, I can constantly learn, and I always want to kind of try to pride myself in being a continuous learner. And to me, if I'm going to ask the girls to put in the work to become better basketball players, I need to put in the work to be a better coach. And, you know, and so every year we go to a PGC camp and I always stay as an observing coach. And regardless if I've been once or three times, I'm always learning something. And those have just been the three main things that we have done that really has benefited our program.
That's great stuff right there, Coach. I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. We will return with more from Coach Jordan Sammons right after this on the Oregon Basketball Coaches Podcast.
Coaches, as you prepare for Summer League and the upcoming season, don't forget to renew your membership with the OBCA. Membership includes access to resources and mentorship from coaches across the state and the country, as well as access to Lucio technology used by NBA franchises. Membership starts at just $15. Don't delay. Renew your OBCA membership today.
Welcome back to the Oregon Basketball Coaches Podcast. Eddie Townsend here with Bandon Girls Basketball Coach Jordan Sammons. Coach, so we went through kind of your journey and where your season.
Yeah, honestly, Coach, you know, this year, you know, we had a good year. We finished third, and then, you know, unfortunately, the next year with COVID, you know, we had two really good seniors that came back to start for us as juniors. You know, Kennedy Turner was a post and Sterling Williams, and they were just great players. And then we had three freshmen and another junior that played quite a bit with them. And, you know, we had that COVID year and had a great year, but we didn't get a full season. And so coming into this year, you know, we'd have one senior, Carly, that was returning, that had some varsity experience. And then we had three sophomores that had varsity experience. And that was it. We had a freshman that we knew was going to get some time. We had another senior we knew that would get some time. And then, another one of our sophomores kind of surprised us and became our sixth man as the year went on. And, so we didn't really have a lot of expectations this year. We just wanted to come out and compete and just get better. We ended up starting, you know, three sophomores, a freshman and a senior. And we just kind of went into it, not with a lot of expectations, and we started off playing well and, you know, played pretty well throughout the year. And, man, you know, we were just hoping to be able to get into the playoffs. And, when we won our home game, you know, it was like the icing on the cake just to make the Pendleton. And so we were just happy to be there. We went over there just, you know, to definitely to go compete and play hard. But, you know, we knew we had a young team, and, we thought we were pretty prepared for Jervis, and we came out and played well and, executed a pretty good game plan against them. One of our sophomores came down and maybe the first like 6 or 7 minutes of the game and landed on a girl's foot in the quarterfinals, and just her ankle blew up, and she didn't come back in until the last couple minutes of the game. She kind of pushed through it when Jervis kind of made a run and made it close. And so going into the semis, we weren't really sure if we were going to have her or not. You know, she had really, you know, played well for us. And so, you know, we tried to watch some film on Salem Academy. We knew they were going to be tough. You know, they were the one of the number one teams in state all year. And then, you know, they were the number one team going into the state tournament. And we knew they were going to be tough. And so we weren't really sure if we'd have her. And you know, we knew going into the semis, it was going to be just a cool experience for the girls, but we knew it was going to be the biggest game that they ever played in up to that point. A bunch of young girls, and man, Salem Academy just jumped all over us in the first half. And that you know, my sophomore that hurt her ankle, she was able to play, but you know, they just kind of jumped all over us. And we thought we could kind of maybe get after them and try to press a little bit and kind of do some things, but we knew we couldn't really when she was in the game, just because, you know, she was kind of hurt. And I think we went into the half down 13, and we just talked in the half that, like, you had to have a belief that we were going to be able to get back in this game. And, you know, we put all this work in and came all this way. And you know, we just said, if we're going to go to the state championship, it might as well be in dramatic fashion with a great second half comeback. And they came out and scored the first 4 points. We were down 17, and we weren't really sure if, you know, we were like, well, that's not what we wanted to do to start it. And then all of a sudden, man, just things kind of started clicking. We had a girl actually bank in a three and get it down to, so that would put it back down to 14. And we took a timeout, and we just said, hey, that's what we needed to get us going. The ball went in, that's what we need. And man, it sure did. You know, we knew there was maybe a quarter and a half left, and so we felt pretty confident that, hey, if we can kind of put a press on, and we kind of got to do it now. And I told Micaiah, if she's going to play on her ankle, she's just going to have to be tough and do it. And, you know, the girls just came out and just played their tails off. And next thing I know, you know, there's 30 seconds left in the game, and we're down four. And we just made a great run to get back in it. And we were down four and had the ball, and a girl cut to the basket and went, just finished at the rim. There was a block charge call with about maybe 15 seconds left, and they called a charge. And, you know, that girl fouled out, and they went down and made both free throws to get it to six. And that was kind of it. But, you know, just being one to make it to the semis, we were just ecstatic, you know, especially with a young team. And it was just really cool to see their heart that they played with in the second half. And, you know, they're tired, they're beat up. You know, these girls with a freshman year of a short COVID year, and our eighth grade seasons are maybe 8 weeks. This is the first time they've ever had a real high school basketball season, and it can be long. And
you know, hard on the body. And, like, you know, we just had girls beat up and hurt. And just the way they came out and just played in that second half was just awesome. So we left the semis just super encouraged just with the heart that we saw from our girls. And just blessed to get to be in that opportunity even to play. And, you know, like I said, you know, we didn't quite get that goal to get into to get the win in the semis and get into the state championship. But, you know, they gave us everything we could have asked for, just with the effort they played with. And Salem Academy was a great team. And, it was just a cool experience and just super, super grateful to be able to coach a team like that, that just leaves everything on the line, regardless of the situation and how it seems to be in the moment.
That's cool. So now that you've done, you know, what you've done, it's pretty impressive. You know, I just got to say good job. So now that you're there, your program's at that level, you've got a program established, you've been to the semifinals, you know, like I say, a couple years of the last three. So with all that said, I mean, what's your next goal? What are you looking forward to? What are you aspiring to?
You know, our small goal is to get better every day, you know, get better every week. You know, as cliche as it sounds, you know, we're trying to continue to do what got us to this point. You know, what got us to the point of where we're at was a bunch of girls that just cared about each other, loved the game of basketball, and just wanted to get better. And that's kind of how we were able to get there. And so we're really trying to keep that mindset of that. But, you know, ultimately is you know, third place is the highest our school's ever finished in basketball. And you know, we tied that a couple of years ago. And so our goal is the next 2 years to get to the state championship. I mean, you know, we don't focus on that. We're focused on getting better every day. But, you know, ultimately as a program goal, we would love to take that next step. Like you said, you know, we've been to the semis twice and, you know, we just think it would be really cool and good for our program and our school if we could take that step and, you know, get to that playing for it all in the final night. And, you know, it's super tough. Everything has to go right even to get to that point, and then let alone try to win a state championship. You know, everything, you know, you've done it. Everything's just got to go right. You got to stay healthy. You know, can't have a bad shooting night on the wrong night. Like, everything just has to come together. But, you know, ultimately that's where we know we have the potential to be if we keep that mentality of, you know, do what got us here and just strive to get better every day and every week and every game we play. And if we do that, we like our opportunity to hopefully put things together and get to that point.
I mean, I love the humility. I love what you're saying. I mean, obviously, you guys are right there. And, you know, for me, you know, but what about the kids that are in the program that don't get to play as much? You know, maybe they're older kids that aren't playing JV, or maybe their JV kids are swinging up. How do you build buy-in with those kids and your role players who maybe aren't getting as much attention and as much playing time as, you know, some of your top players?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, that's something, man, that, like, you know, I've talked to mentors about and talked to just people on and just got ideas. And, you know, one thing, because that's always tough, right? You know, kids want to feel involved. They want to feel valued. And that's what we try to do, is we try to make them feel involved. We try to make them feel valued, because they are, you know. 5 or 6, 7, 8, whatever your rotation is, those aren't the only ones that help you win basketball games. You know, some of the people that have the biggest impact of our program maybe don't play varsity minutes at all, but the way they show up to practice and just work hard every day, the energy they bring on the bench, the talking they do from the bench, the positiveness, the hype, you know, so we really try to just let them know how valuable they are. I can never say this word, but we always say that you're either contributing or you're contaminating. And so regardless of this, and that's not if you're playing or not, that's just your attitude, your energy. And so we talk about how our team's like a puzzle. And if we have 15 corner pieces, we're not going to be a very good puzzle.
so we need those middle pieces. We need those rough around the edges pieces. We need those corner pieces because it all comes together to make a beautiful picture. And so we just really try to let everybody know, regardless of the minutes you play, everybody brings value to our team. And by bringing, you know, by bringing that value from the bench, by bringing that value from the court, it's huge. And I really think, you know, it's kind of bled down from our seniors that year to our seniors last year and our seniors this year, and to even, you know, now we have like 8 sophomores that'll address varsity last year and that'll be returning. And just it just filtered into them, just kind of this place of gratitude where they really kind of understand that. And so they do a really good job. It's awesome when we go in the locker room after the game and the girl that scored 25 and, you know, had 10 rebounds is talking about, you know, hey, Abby, you brought so much energy from the bench tonight. Like, man, when I missed my first 2 shots, like, you told me at that first quarter break, like, hey, to keep shooting, I'm a great shooter, and you just brought so much positiveness into us. And, you know, if it wasn't for you tonight, like, you know, we would have really struggled, and that girl hasn't even gotten to the game, you know, and that just shows them how valuable they are, even if they're not playing a lot of minutes, because they really are. And so we just try to promote that a lot.
That's awesome. That's really good stuff right there. So we're going to take another break. When we return, Coach Sammons will try to beat the shot clock here on the Oregon Basketball Coaches Podcast.
Stay up to date with the Oregon Basketball Coaches Association on social media at facebook.com/OregonBCA or on Twitter at @OrHoopCoaches.
Welcome back to the Oregon Basketball Coaches Podcast. I'm Eddie Townsend, here with Jordan Sammons, girls basketball coach at Bannon High School. Coach, for the next set of questions, I'm going to put up a shot clock. It's not going to be the 35s or 24. I'm going to let it be a little longer because I got some more questions for you. But we're going to go against the shot clock, something many coaches in Oregon believe should be implemented. You'll have a couple minutes to answer as many questions as possible. Questions will have a variety of topics and should only need 1 or maybe 2-word answers. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you think Oregon should have a shot clock?
Torn.
What is one change you would make to improve the game of basketball in Oregon?
I would say consistency, kind of all around at all the different levels.
What is one of the most surprising things you discovered coaching girls basketball?
They are not as girly as anybody would ever imagine.
You're on an island. You get to choose one meal to eat for the rest of your life. What are you eating?
Taco Bell.
Beach and sand or mountains and snow?
Mountains and snow.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Riding bulls or riding motorcycles?
Riding bulls.
Favorite NBA player?
Steph Curry.
Favorite college team?
Kansas State.
Favorite college coach?
Ooh, Mark Few.
Greatest basketball memory?
Probably the first time we beat Coquille when Ashley Strain girl made 2 free throws with about 5 seconds left to clinch the win for the first time to beat them.
One basketball goal in the next 5 years?
To impact the kids in a positive way that I keep a relationship with them after they graduate.
You're up 3 with 10 seconds to go. Are you fouling?
If it gets across half court and under 5.
You have Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, and Steph on your team. Down to 8 seconds to go. Who are you drawing the play up for?
Probably got to go with Jordan.
LeBron or Kobe?
Ooh, probably LeBron.
LeBron or Jordan?
Jordan.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. That's going to do it for this episode of the Oregon Basketball Coaches Podcast. We'd like to thank Coach Jordan Sammons for joining us today. If you have follow-up questions or want to get a hold of Coach Sammons, you can find his contact information in the episode description. Join us next time as we speak to other coaches in the Oregon basketball fraternity. But until then, keep grinding.
Thank you. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Bannon girls coach Jordan Sammons. Join us next time as we have the 4A defending state championship coach from the Philomath girls basketball program, Ben Silva. Until then, keep grinding.